This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Here we go, Hour 3, GBAC Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We're about to talk Mavs with one of our favorite basketball talkers. Our spring training coverage brought to you by ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960, and by the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed, as Bobby Carella, All-City Dallas, joining us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck you doing?
I'm filled with dread, anxiety, maybe even a little bit of fear. How about y'all?
Yeah, I was going to tell you, this is usually about the point that I wake up in the nightmare right before it hits its apex of horror.
We'll see. That dude is about to be on the floor in 4 or 5 hours. That means we still have 4 or 5 hours to wake up.
That's right, Bobby, and I'll keep my fingers crossed between now and then. Now, a lot's been made about how fired up Luka Doncic is. What do you expect, Luka Magic to do tonight?
Man, I mean, we've seen him in the first quarter of Game 5 against the Wolves last year. He went in and ended their season in about 10 minutes, and he did the same thing in Game 7 against the Suns a few years ago. I mean, I expect him to come out and try and do the same thing tonight. I think he's going to try and go for the heart. You know, I don't think, you know, Luka has any sort of hatred in his heart for Kyrie or any of the players. And normally it's a trash-talking player that kind of, you know, sends Luka into this frenzy. But sometimes it's been fans. And in this case, I think it's going to be maybe the coach or maybe the front office or maybe the owner. I mean, whichever guy is closest to wherever Luka is on the floor is going to get a lot of glares. Going to be the subject of a lot of anger, a lot of aggression, a lot of taunts, a lot of trash talk. And, I mean, I think Luke is going to try and, you know, maybe he'll try and score 77 tonight just to let the Mavs know what they're missing out on.
Yeah, I think a lot of the chatter might also come when he returns back to the AAC. I mean, my gosh, that's going to be a hell of a night, Bobby. But here's a question that I never thought I'd have to ask you. How do you think the Mavericks attempt to guard Luka Doncic tonight?
Dude, I've been thinking about that for the last couple days. And, you know, generally the way the Mavs play against really good players, especially guys who can't pass. Obviously, Luka is an incredible passer, so we'll see if they follow those rules tonight. But generally, if a superstar gets going, the Mavs will double-team him. But Dallas and Jason Kidd know better than anybody in the world that doubling Luka, like, you're not going to keep him from scoring. And he's also going to get 15 extra assists than if you just guard him one-on-one. And so, you know, maybe they'll mix it up. I think P.J. Washington is going to guard him. I think Najee Marshall will guard him. You know, Max Christie might be too small, but then you got guys like Omax that, you know, are the right size but might be a little too clumsy. Kyrie is really clever, but he's obviously way too small. There's just not really a lot of good options on this team to guard Luka one-on-one. So, I mean, if he gets hot early, you might have to start doubling him. But then all of a sudden you're going to be, you know, he's just going to kick it out to LeBron. And LeBron's going to be, you know, have the ball in his hands playing 4-on-3. So I don't know. I really don't know. I think the Mavs just have to hope that Luka shoots like 4 for 17 tonight and they don't have to make a tough choice, but I really doubt that's going to happen.
Right, Bob, I mean, when you get Luka on defense, they are going to try and do what LaMelo Ball and the Hornets did the other night.
Yeah, go at him. Go at him. You know, Kyrie is going to do everything he can to get Luka one-on-one. Obviously, he's really quick. You know, PJ, I think, could maybe try and hit him with some moves. I mean, Luka is really good with his hands, though. So if you're trying to get too nice with it, he can poke it away. And the Mavs don't necessarily have a lot of guys outside of Kyrie and maybe on his good day, Spencer Dinwiddie, that can string together a couple dribble moves the way that LaMelo was. But, you know, the Lakers showed over the weekend when they destroyed the Nuggets, they were swarming Nikola Jokic. And part of that was to try and force the ball out of his hands and, you know, keep it to lesser shooters on the team. But also part of that is the Lakers signal to the NBA world, like, hey, we will take your star out of the game and force other guys to beat us. So I think one way that they could protect Luka tonight is by, you know, if Kyrie's pointing at his man to come set a screen, I think they might just double. Luka might just blitz Kyrie, force that out of his hands, and then force somebody else on the Mavs to beat them. Other teams have done that pretty successfully against Dallas over the last, you know, 6 or 7 games since the trade. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers try it. But, I mean, certainly the Mavs are going to try and make Luka work on defense because, you know, I mean, every other team does it, and they know better than anybody what his limitations are.
Bobby, you live with this team, and so I just was going to ask you, when you see players that are coming back and working with the coaches, you know, after shoot-around stuff, is that usually an indication? I know in the NFL when I see players like on the cords and things like that, I could kind of have an idea of maybe when they're going to come back. Do you get any read by what we've seen with some of the injured guys shooting after practice today?
It's certainly not a bad thing that Anthony Davis is able to get out on the floor. I mean, if his health situation, and this is just purely speculation on my part, but if his health situation was trending towards surgery being the only way to make this thing better, I don't think anyone in the world in their right mind would let him anywhere near a floor, you know, even if he's just taking standstill jumpers. But the fact that he's able to get out there and move around at least a little bit is a little cause for hope. But, I mean, he's definitely not sprinting, you know. We're still a week or so away from them being reevaluated, him alongside Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford. You know, Lively has been captured on camera, you know, not having to be in his boot. I mean, that's a pretty good sign. Gafford, you know, he's still a ways from coming back, but, I mean, they just need anybody. You know, Dwight Powell is certainly the closest to coming back of all the big men. Granted, he's the least effective of the four, but he's still someone that's taller than 6'7" that can go out there and play, right. You know, knows how to play basketball. And he's almost doing full workouts and, you know, not quite going through full contact practice, but the expectation is that he'll be back at, you know, some point pretty soon. I would hope within the next week or so, you know, by the time Moses Brown's 10-day contract expires. So a little bit of the cavalry is on the way, but of course all eyes are on that March 6th date for the reevaluation of those three. You know, if Anthony Davis needs surgery, it's super over. You know, it's like fully, completely over. But if he's on the floor right now, I mean, maybe hope remains that we can see him sometime in March. And, you know, they're obviously going to need him as soon as possible.
All the talk has been about how Luke is fired up, but I feel like the Mavs players have come together a lot since the trade. I mean, they were already a good morale group, and Kyrie is a great leader. But how fired up are they with all the attention on this matchup tonight in the association?
I mean, they're probably pretty fired up, but it is this weird situation where, you know, now outside of Dwight Powell, the longest tenured Maverick is Jaden Hardy, who joined the team in 22-23. So there's not a lot of guys on this team that have spent a lot of time with Luka. You know, a lot of the players that are active right now are on the team for the first season, you know, so they barely even know the guy. So I'm not sure how much of like this emotional connection they have to him or even kind of an understanding of what he meant to the fans and to the franchise and everything like that. But, you know, they're certainly aware of the noise. You know, they're certainly aware of, you know, how fans are obviously rightfully skeptical of the trade and, you know, a lot of people believing that the season is kind of over and all of their big men are hurt. And there's no reason to think that this team can make a playoff push. And yet here they are, you know, before the last game against the Warriors, they'd won 5 out of 6. I mean, they were playing really, really well. Mm-hmm. I think my only concern is hoping that that Warriors blowout was not maybe a little bit of the shaking of the confidence. You know, this team needs to believe that with some scrappy fighting and scratching and clawing and all that stuff, that they are capable of winning games. And every time, you know, you get run out of a gym by a team that is better than you, you know, it's another little pin in the cushion, you know, and they need that belief, because they just, right now, they're not physically capable of overwhelming teams. They can only do it by outworking and outsmarting the other team. And, you know, I mean, if they get outskilled and outworked the way they did the other night a lot, then it could get pretty ugly for them.
Bobby Corella, All City Dallas, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Do you expect to see Nico Harrison make an appearance tonight?
I think that he will be in the gym. I think it would be, honestly, I think it would be pretty lame if he wasn't. Now, will he be visible? I don't know. If he's visible, you can bet your life that Luka will find him, you know. And if we see Luka looking into the stands, you know, he's going to be looking right at Nico all night. So I hope that Nico is there. I think it would be, you know, kind of weak if he wasn't. But, you know, maybe he should stay in a suite or maybe in the locker room or something, because, you know, any extra motivation for Luka, we know, is a very, very dangerous thing to do.
I like the idea of Nico Harrison sitting in the stands, and at some point they put him up on the Jumbotron, and Lakers fans just go bananas and give him a standing ovation, round of applause. Thank you, Nico.
Sure.
Ooh, yeah, that is good. I mean, they do like a celebrity who's in the gym kind of thing, you know, during timeouts. They'll show all the celebs. I'm sure there's going to be a lot tonight. They could mix in a shot of him. I think he'd probably get a louder ovation than, like, Jack Nicholson or any of those other people that show up.
Bobby, I wanted to pick your brain on the video that went viral over the weekend with Durow and the Mavs kind of blurring out Luka's face from the videos. I know you did work with the Mavs and creating content and the website before All City. And when we've had Nick Harris on, who worked at DallasCowboys.com, like, I guess this is something that all teams do. Just as fans, maybe we just never noticed it until it was somebody as big as Luka, and it just seemed like he was adding insult to injury.
Yeah, so a little more info on that. It wasn't actually Luka that they blurred out. All of the people that became silhouettes with logos on their faces were Maxi Kleba and Quentin Grimes, which is pretty funny because, obviously, you know, I don't think many people are fired up about Maxi or Quentin Grimes, but the fact that they were turned into silhouettes kind of creates a little bit of doubt, you know, and doesn't do a lot to you know, ease people's anger and emotions and everything. But that video wasn't even made by the Mavs. Now, why it was posted by the Mavs is anybody's guess, you know, but poor Durow had to put out a statement about it later that day, to saying, like, hey, my team made it, and we were trying to eliminate the distraction of having former players, but, you know, it was a bit of a heavy-handed way to do it. But, yeah, I mean, generally, whenever players are traded or change teams, you know, if they leave in free agency or whatever, the teams do have to go back and, you know, update their website, update their Twitter headers and all that stuff to include only players that are currently on the team. Otherwise, you could be fined for tampering. We would get a long list, you know, via email of all the things we can and cannot do around the trade deadline and around the NBA draft and free agency and stuff. And, you know, we had to be pretty mindful of that. But, you know, the timing of that video and the kind of the over-the-top way that it was done certainly, you know, fueled the fire that's still raging in the fan base. What I can say is that the clips that were used, because it was a Durow video, you had to get approval from the NBA for all of those clips. And it can take a really long time to get approval from the NBA. And so, you know, instead of just waiting the several weeks or months that they would need to get new clips, they just went ahead and did what they did. Obviously, you know, fans feel a certain way about it, and that is their right. But, you know, just another unfortunate blunder in a long series of ones for the Mavs lately.
Bobby Corella, All City Dallas, before we let you go, where was the Luka and Jason Kidd relationship before the trade?
I think it was good. You know, I think it was fine. J. Kidd pretty much keeps things pretty close to the chest. Now, you know, he has, over the years, you know, not shied away from criticizing Luka's defense, you know, and kind of the team's approach to the game. And obviously he's not going to single out Luka every single night. So sometimes, you know, they could be perceived as veiled shots toward Luka or something. But I mean, Luka, when asked, always said nice things about J. Kidd, and J. Kidd, when asked, always, you know, for the most part, said nice things about Luka, outside of sometimes talking about his commitment to defense. So you know, I think there was a mutual respect between the two. You know, were they best friends? I don't know. You know, I don't think that Luka's necessarily trying to be friends with his coach, but that's not a shot at him or anything. I mean, he's a player and J-Kidd is a coach, and there's a 20 or 30-year age gap between the two. I don't think they have a lot in common. So, you know, J-Kidd is a guy that wants things done his way. Luka certainly likes to do things his way, and whenever you get two alphas like that in the room that are pretty cerebral types, there could be a little friction, but I don't think that they disliked each other or anything like that. I mean, I think they were pretty tight-knit and, you know, kind of on the same page as far as a superstar and his coach is concerned.
Trying to make sense of this on a night where the Mavs visit the Lakers, could this be simplified to maybe Nico and Dumont just kind of overestimated how important their principles were and thought they were worth, you know, holding up even if it meant getting rid of a generational talent? Or have you gained any perspective that allows it to make a little bit more sense as of yet?
The way I view it, man, is, you know, Nico is a guy that's not really from around here. Patrick Dumont is a guy that's not really from around here. And when they suddenly wake up with all the power in the world and lofty ambitions and, you know, maybe a little pressure to win right away, you know, you can kind of forgo and forsake the emotional connection that fans feel toward their favorite player and just think, well, I mean, this guy that I like, I think is better than him, so I can sell the fans on that. But, you know, like it or not, there is a very strong emotional connection between fans and their favorite player. You know, fans in the NBA now routinely will switch allegiances when their favorite player changes teams, and players change teams a lot. You know, there aren't necessarily 10 million Mavs fans in the world. There's a few million Mavs fans, and there's a lot of Luka fans. And I think, you know, if you look at things too rationally, if you think about, you know, things in a basketball sense too much without respecting fan sentiment, the emotional, the romantic connection to the game, then I think it can lead to situations like this. And unfortunately, it's becoming a lot more common in the league. And, you know, fans just continue to lose. It is really sad. But I think that's the only explanation for it. This trade was not really about basketball. It was about what Nico Harrison thinks is right and what Nico Harrison thinks is best. And if he's proven right, cool, I guess. If it turns out that he's wrong, then, again, Mavs fans are the only ones that lose. You know, he's going to have a fine rest of his life, and we're going to watch some pretty bad basketball for a little while. So hopefully he's right, I guess. But, you know, in the meantime, people are still going to feel really strongly about this for a really long time.
Well, best of luck to you, Bob, as you continue this journey to tip off and trying to process this. I can't imagine all the emotions that will be going on there during the game. But best of luck to you and all the Mavs fans out there making the most of it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Cheers. There he goes. Bobby Corella, an absolute treasure trove of basketball insights and perspective here. All City Dallas is where you can find his content, and of course, on Twitter. It's time for Wolchuk's Top 10 at 420, buddy. Where are you taking us today?
All right, let's continue the NBA flavor as we go through the top 10 other NBA greats playing against their former teams for the first time, and it is a day I will never forget.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next in the nation.
All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're watching spring training baseball, and the Rangers' number one prospect, Sebastian Walcott, just stepping in here in the bottom of the seventh inning. Don't worry about the score. Rangers getting their reps in, you know, trying to throw strikes and, you know, get their work done and all that. But Sebastian Walcott, big number 89, and he takes a first pitch strike there at the knees on the inside corner. For the 0-1 count. But it's time for Wolchuk's Top 10 of 420. I'll let you know how this goes. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels, 214 or 817-333-3333. Franklin Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's a 1-1 count. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Willie Bowler.
All right, we just talked with Bobby Corella. All City Dallas covers our Mavericks, and it's a big night as it's the first time Luka is taking on his former team. So I do have the top 10 other instances in the NBA where you had a great play against his former team for the first time. 877-881-1053. What are some other type of return games? It can be any sport that you remember. We'll get to that in just a moment. But fellas, today is my daughter's first birthday. So I just wanted to say happy birthday to my beautiful little angel, Eliza. It was probably right about now. 1 year ago, where we landed in Surprise, Arizona, and all of a sudden, as soon as you get the internet connection, boom, here comes the buzzing, the vibrations. Like, oh my gosh, this was not...
Something big happened.
Not normal. Yeah, it was a lot.
Luka got traded, or a baby's on the way.
Yep, so I've got the call from the wife, and I think she's playing a joke on me that she is at the hospital, her water has broken, she needs me to come home. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a prank. I hear in the background, mother-in-law like, nope, not a joke. So immediately Uncle Bri-Bri goes into dad mode. He's trying to find me like the next fastest flight back home. It's a Southwest flight. It's leaving in a couple of hours. I book that sucker. We get off the plane. I take my right turn. I go over to the Southwest gates. I got to wait. I got to hang out. And about an hour later, I got a FaceTime. As I was waiting to board the flight, now I'm in C group, so I'm literally like the last person to board since I just bought the ticket. And I'm literally watching... at the charging station, my baby girl be born, which was crazy. Made it home. She obviously was 2 months early, so we spent the first 2 months in the NICU, went straight to the NICU afterwards. But story in a day that I certainly will never forget, and I appreciate you guys being very supportive, and especially Eric. Hey, you held it down beautifully last year, man, with the clubhouse interviews without me. You guys were awesome. But a special day for me, special day for my family. So I know 420, Eliza usually does. They'll put it up like your girls do, Eric, on the TV.
Yeah.
They'll put us up. So I just want to say, Daddy loves you. I'm sorry I'm not there. But she did get to go to Build-A-Bear today. Sounds like she's having a hell of a birthday.
I love you. You sent the bundt cake for breakfast.
I did. She got to have a little chocolate chip bundt cake for breakfast. You know, dessert for breakfast on your birthday. Why the hell not?
What was your vantage point? What was your POV on the FaceTime watching your baby be born?
It was the from behind my wife's head, I guess.
Like, so you had the same view as hers, so to speak.
Yes. The doctors would not allow my mother-in-law with the camera to go around to the other side. And she was like, but it's the dad. It's the dad. And they're like, no, you can't do that. I thought to myself, that's probably a win.
Yeah.
Because I had really not decided in real time if I wanted to see that or not. So this decision was made for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, we'll see whenever baby number two happens. Hopefully, I am there for that one. We don't have another trip scheduled and the baby comes early. But either way, man, what a crazy day it was.
No doubt. Yeah, totally crazy. Oh, look at our guy Wolcott.
He battled that about, worked the account full, and then got a pitch he could hit. Hit a pop-up to center field, but the center fielder had to come in on it and lost it in the sun.
877-881-1053. Let's get to the NBA players, some other NBA greats that played against their former team for the first time. Honorable mentions. You do have a couple of the Oklahoma City Thunder players, as they had that triplet pairing that ended up going back to play the Thunder for the first time. So you've got like Russell Westbrook, who was with the Rockets, goes back to play the Thunder, put up 21, 12, and 9 in that game back in 2019. Anthony Davis, his first game against the Pelicans, ended up being a Lakers loss, but he had 41 points, 9 boards, 1 assist, 3 steals, and a block. What could be, if you had Anthony Davis tonight, you know, just as much as we're thinking Luka's going to go off against the Mavs, I think Anthony Davis would just be feasting tonight against the Lakers if he was healthy.
Crushing them, yeah. Bring me some Jackson Hayes and some Dorian Finney-Smith here in the post.
Other honorable mentions, we've got Chris Paul going back to the Pelicans when he was with the Clippers. He had 16 points, 9 assists in that one, couple of steals. Patrick Ewing, Sonics and the Knicks, November 14th, 2000, 31, 10, and 9 in that game.
Wow, I didn't know he could still hoop when he got to Seattle
like
that.
He did, man.
Yeah.
And then the Spurs and Raptors with Kawhi. Kawhi goes 21 points, 1 board, only 1 board for him in a 2019 matchup, 5 assists, couple of steals. And then Scottie Pippen, Blazers Bulls. Here you go, General. January 3rd of 2000, Scottie with 11 points, 3 boards, 6 steals, or 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block as he faced the Bulls as a member of the Blazers. Game took place at United Center in Chicago. Pippen contributing to a dominant Blazers 88-63 win over the Bulls. Anything you remember from that one?
88-63.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Yeah, that's straight out of what, 2000 or 2001
yep.
for you?
1998.
I don't remember anything. I just remember Scottie Pippen was the ultimate team player at that point in his career. He could obviously score throughout his entire career, but he was more of a point guard at that point and would play great defense and still had like 2 or 3 great seasons in him by the time he got to Portland after that little stint in Houston.
We've got from the 903 texting in, Emmett with the Cardinals against Dallas, and then Josh Hamilton with the Angels against the Rangers. It was weird seeing both of them in another uniform. I agree with you.
Mike Madonna 100%. In a Detroit Red Wings
yes.
jersey, right?
That was also a weird one. Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't imagine, and luckily we never had to, but like Troy Aikman, if he ever went to another team, that would have been weird. Like now you're seeing all these quarterbacks, when Favre, Rodgers, Manning, like they go on and they end up, and Montana, even with Kansas City. You didn't have to do that with Troy, even though he did flirt with possibly playing for the Miami Dolphins. And then Dirk, right? I mean, that was the beauty of it. We didn't have to deal with that with Dirk. Other honorable mentions here, Allen Iverson, Nuggets and Sixers. Gosh, I totally forgot and blanked that AI went to Denver with Melo.
Yeah, he looked, there was a lot of hype. He looked great too. He looked great in that uniform.
Dawson, you might remember this. What did when Stockton and Malone played for the Lakers? Did they
just
play
Malone? Against,
just Malone.
Yeah.
Stockton didn't play.
Gary Payton was there.
Payton, okay.
Yeah, Stockton retired.
Okay, I was just wondering about Malone coming back and playing against Utah.
They were really good. You know,
he was chasing a ring, wasn't he?
Yes, Malone was.
Yeah.
Number 10 is KG. Kevin Garnett with the Celtics playing the Timberwolves in 2008. This was a close game, 87-86. Ended in a narrow win for the Celtics. In that game, you had KG with 10 points, 16 boards, hitting a double-double. against his former team. Impact on the boards was a huge reason why they were able to get that win.
You know, these scores do bring up, I don't know if you saw the viral video from Channing Frye yesterday, but he said, you know what's really killing the NBA is a nostalgia about how clean and amazing this game from the 90s and 2000s was.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot of low-scoring games and a lot of bogged-down offense. You know, maybe a lot of three-point shooting isn't the ideal either, but your memories of how hoop was back then maybe, you know, didn't line up with reality in a lot of those situations. It was ugly basketball, and it was only great because you were watching your team try to win with that strategy.
Nine is Dwayne Wade with the Bulls making his return to take on the Heat.
Oh, yeah.
That was a 13.7 board, 4 assist night for Wade and an emotional return to Miami, as he contributed to a Bulls win, 98-95 over the Heat. Next up, you got Moses Malone, Sixers-Rockets. This is back in 1982. Moses Malone with 24 and 17 in that game.
He was amazing.
My gosh, I mean, incredible. Was at the Spectrum in Philadelphia, Sixers winning 104-93. Then Oscar Robertson, Bucks and Royals. Oh, really not a good game for Oscar Robertson. 6 points, 4 boards, 7 assists. Game took place at the Royals' home court. And the Bucks emerged victorious, final 121-100. You got KD, Warriors Thunder. I mean, you could have had a couple with KD here. Then we've got Wilt Chamberlain, San Francisco Warriors against the 76ers. Wilt, 22 points, 29 boards in 1965. Unbelievable what he was able to do. 29 rebounds. Are you freaking kidding me? What an absolute cheat code as he comes in at number 4. But the top 3. We got Shaquille O'Neal, as he was just breaking the hearts of one Lucius Alexander in a Lakers jersey. L.A., I know you were pulling for those Orlando Magic. 1996, December 6th, highly anticipated showdown. Shaq against his former team. It was buzzing. First time since joining the Lakers, and he goes for 25 and 18 in that game, 92-81. Big win there for the Lake Show.
7 blocks. That's
seven
crazy.
Blocks, yeah. Number 2, we've got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lakers and the Bucks, 99-92. Lakers get the win. Kareem 30-20 in that game with 9 blocks for him.
Oh, my gosh.
But number 1, LeBron James. The Heat and the Cavs, 118-90. LeBron, having left Cleveland to join the Heat, faced his former team for the first time in a highly anticipated matchup at Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. Atmosphere was nuts. LeBron goes 38-5 with 8 assists and 1 steal, leading the Heat to a dominant 118-90 victory. And we'll see what Luka does tonight against our Dallas Mavericks.
Well, seems like a long history of Hall of Famers going to the Lakers. And there goes Shaq.
Yeah.
There goes
yeah.
Jabbar.
Right.
Oh, Kobe refusing to play for any other team. Crazy. But thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
A top 10 at 420 most every afternoon here in the nation. Now, can we play another one of you guys' locker room or clubhouse visits? Uncomfortable clubhouse conversations coming up next as we're live in surprise, and we're back in just a second here in the G-Back Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. The nosebleed guys have outdone themselves this year with uncomfortable clubhouse conversations. We'll get to Hobie Milner here in just a second. Our spring training coverage brought to you by Osco Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960. And it's brought to you by the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. Wolcott just had a nice play over there at Shore, didn't he, Brian?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, somebody that's 6'4", 190,
yep.
His ability to backhand the ball, got it to second. I mean, that was out of his glove in an instant.
Yeah, he was smooth.
Big old guy, man. Smooth player, for sure.
I was wondering, how do they have this guy at shortstop? And then within a minute, he had a hot shot to his right side,
yeah.
And he made the play and made it look easy, started a double play. So,
yeah.
I mean, the game has not gone the Rangers' way, 14-6. But, you know, at spring training, this stuff doesn't matter. You know, it's fine.
No, it's
they're working on stuff.
Error. We're working on things, and that's exactly what you're looking for, is a good play like that from Sebastian Wolcott defensively.
And he got a base hit earlier, too. So
unless they can put up, 8 runs here with one out in the bottom of the ninth inning. No, it's the eighth inning here. They will they'll go to 1-3 in spring training, but who cares? You know, it's meaningless baseball. I'm sure they're going to get it figured out. All right. That's what everybody tells me. Yeah. So why would it be worried about it? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And wherever you go here in spring training, you can't ask him any sort of a pointed question about any player because it just doesn't matter, Chief.
Like what Evan Carter told us yesterday. Too blessed to be stressed.
That's right. Yes. Okay. So speaking of that, we go back into the Rangers clubhouse where Eric and Woolchuk have their next subject.
All right, we're back with more uncomfortable clubhouse conversations with one of our newest Rangers, a local legend, Hobie Milner, added to the bullpen, now in the clubhouse. How the heck are you, dude? Welcome to the Texas Rangers.
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here, and thanks for asking.
What'd you have for breakfast this morning?
Haven't eaten yet. Just got here.
Okay, so what's usually the routine?
I'll probably have some eggs, bacon, and usually have some sort of either a pancake or something like that in there. So
I've noticed a lot of the guys here just doing like Copenhagen for breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, some guys do, but no, for me, I stick to eggs, bacon, or something like that.
So what was your most excited thing? Get back home, back in DFW, back with the Rangers. I mean, Whataburger, I assume, was probably the thing you missed the most.
I mean, actually, Whataburger is something I really miss, like playing up in the north.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to be glad to be living in my own house and got all my friends and family in the area, so I'll have a big support network for the kids and whatnot.
What surprised you more the first time you saw it, the overall size of Chris Young or just the size of Bochy's dome?
I'd say the height of Chris Young was definitely, like, he has to duck kind of around some of these door frames around here, which is pretty cool.
How about the gravitas of Boch, though? I mean, are you kidding me? Just the guy commands the room. He can really rally the troops.
He does. He's got that, like, deep, booming voice. It's pretty cool.
Take me inside that first meeting, because I heard about the Diddler meeting that happened before the season, where it's like, hey, obviously with the stuff that went on with Diddy this offseason, you can't do no Diddy on the ox court in the clubhouse. You know, like, just laying out the do's and don'ts of who you can play in the clubhouse, right?
I think we can play pretty much whatever we want in the clubhouse because the majority of the time people can't hear it. So,
what do you think about the robo arms?
I don't mind it. I mean, I haven't thrown to it yet, so I think tomorrow.
The idea, the concept.
Yeah, I haven't thrown to it yet, but I like the challenge system. I mean, the automated balls and strikes, they say, is just kind of the zone's too small and consistent. Like, it's not accurate enough to call every single pitch at the top and the bottom of the zone. But I do like the ability to challenge. Like, you know, you're essentially challenging east and west because the top and bottom's, like, it's unclear based off the heights of the hitters and whatnot. They'll get in crouching stances. You can't really tell what it is. But the east and west is definitely... it's good to see, like, umpire misses one by 3 inches on the side. You can actually call him out for it. So,
oh, there we go. So, like, if there was a robo ump missed a call, you're going to go and call that robo ump out? You're going to kick his ass? Or herds? I don't know.
I guess not.
What's the gender of these robots?
I don't know.
That's a great question, right?
I read that you grew up wanting to be a falconer until you realized that you could really just spin the hell out of a baseball.
I did not want to be a falconer. I don't know where you saw that. But
you are a big Animal Kingdom guy, right?
I mean, I've been to Animal Kingdom before, but...
Did you know that ants have some of the largest sperm in the animal kingdom? Are you aware of that?
No, I did not.
I know, it's surprising because they're so little.
It's a crazy kind of concept.
There's,
you know,
no way.
Science is crazy.
Well, that's why they got the two humps, right? That's just filled with sperm.
not
it's amazing.
Chance.
Okay, so we're going to make a new movie. You obviously loved Cocaine Bear. Okay, so pick a new drug, pick a new animal. You're going to direct this movie.
I'd say fentanyl shark.
Fentanyl shark.
See, that levels up the meth shark
crazy
stuff.
Crazy son of a gun.
Which is really crazy these days.
I thought you were going to go like heroin hippo or something, but hey, that's a good one right there.
So this is the time of year where all the hitters are like obviously doing the pee on the hand stuff just to strengthen them, prepare for the season. What does a pitcher like you do? How much pee are you kind of swimming?
not putting pee on my hands. Not
just the rest of your body kind of deal?
I mean, maybe on your shoulder, but that's about it.
Okay, what is it about the shoulder? It just heals better?
I'd say it strengthens up the muscles for, you know, for this long grind we're about to get into.
Do you do the stuff that Roger Clemens used to do with the icy hot?
I don't do anything that Roger Clemens used to do.
Other than the steroids?
No, that's a good thing to specify. Oh, other than those, dude. Hobie?
I don't.
Okay. Texas kids don't do that stuff.
You're right.
If you could body swap with any teammate, Who would you do it with?
Maybe Adolis. That'd be kind of tight to be that jacked.
So jacked.
Yeah, because I'm the opposite of him, I think. So I think it'd be.
Are like, you talking like waist up or waist down? Just full body.
I guess full
body. The biceps, everything.
Yeah. You're a lean machine.
You are.
All right, I'm a magic genie. You can have 2 inches of height or 2 inches of length. What do you prefer?
I'll take height.
I mean, you got some hubris. Yeah.
Have you missed any of your kids' birthdays?
Never. They're off-season birthdays, so.
Oh, man, you said it like never, like that. What would you say? Like,
they've only had a combined 6 birthdays, so.
Okay. So it happens to be my daughter's first birthday today. I'm on a work trip. I'm missing it. How much of an asshole am I?
I think you're doing your best, doing what you can to support family.
Thank you, because I actually cried today. I had to shed some tears. What do you think about Sean Sharif getting a minor league deal?
And then now he's on this. I don't know who that is.
Sean Sharif? Yeah. He's the first Indian American pitcher to be signed by the Rangers. He's pretty badass.
Okay.
The problem is he's got like super tiny hands, so they've had to get like metal bats for him, like the T bats.
It's tough to spin it.
Okay. No, I've not heard about him, but good for him.
Oh, you'll find out soon. Dude's throwing heat.
Okay. He really is, man. He really is. Okay, I think we're good.
All right.
Hobie Milner. Okay.
Thanks,
you're the man. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, the uncomfortable clubhouse conversations. Another home run, gentlemen. Woo. Congratulations. Now,
I really wish we had kept it rolling, because as soon as we finished up, Hobie looks at us and goes, yeah, that really was uncomfortable.
he was. He played along just enough.
Fentanyl shark. That caught me off guard a little bit.
Down.
Shark.
Going heroin hippo shark. Was good, too, though.
Oh, we've been brainstorming.
Okay, so tomorrow Jock Peterson gets the treatment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And that, I think, is the most cringe one yet, but we'll see. We'll see what you guys.
Is anybody saying anything to you, like Sands or Rich Rice or any of the clubbies? Like, we need to do more of this or less of this? Or are we good?
They try to distance themselves from us.
There's definitely no eye contact being made. That's for sure.
Jared did hear the ones that we did today, with the one with Milner there and the one with Jock Peterson. So we can ask Jared here in a moment what he thinks.
Oh, there you go.
If we're doing all right.
Yeah, Sands. Okay, we're at top of the ninth inning now. Sands will join us here shortly after the conclusion of this game. It's 14-6 Royals at Surprise Stadium, and we're back with an edition of The Finest, Chief. Where are you taking us?
How do the top two teams in the draft view Travis Hunter, and is it about to be the Denver Broncos next year in the nation?